Good morning and welcome to Morning Report. This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by Audio Journal. Today is Tuesday, June 16th, 2026, and for the next half hour we will be bringing you news from the Worcester Telegram and Gazette, along with other local news services. Thanks to the Memorial Foundation for the Blind and the Massachusetts Commission for the Blind for their ongoing support. This is Alita, coming to you live from the Patricia A. Fletcher Studio at Audio Journal in Worcester, Massachusetts. And now with us on the line is Bill Ruggiero with today's weather. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Alita. How are you doing today?
It is a lovely day. My idea of what summer should be.
Yes, it is a lovely day. Good morning, everybody. We're going to see beautiful weather today. No rain. And it's going to see less humid conditions, but it's going to be a warm one. Today's going to be in the mid-70s. Tonight, it's going to be mostly clear skies, lows dipping down into the 50s. Now, tomorrow, it's going to be a little more humid with clouds and sun, but the clouds are going to win out in the afternoon. And there could be a spotty shower thunderstorm in the afternoon. Nothing major. For tomorrow night, it's going to be showers and thunderstorms likely, and some could be heavy at times. Low around 66 degrees. The outlook for Thursday, it's going to be a rainy day, folks. Showers, thunderstorms likely, and mostly sunny, and it's going to be muggy and humid. Highs Thursday near 83 degrees. Thursday night, it cools off. It's going to be in the mid-60s, Friday is going to be nice. In the 70s, Saturday is going to be nice. And Sunday, we do have a chance of showers for all your dads out there. But highs on Sunday is going to be in the mid-70s. But it's not going to be a washout. It could be some spotty showers on Sunday. So we're going to have to watch that. And also, early next week, we could get a soaking rainstorm by Monday. And that, folks, is your latest weather forecast. And now back to you there, Lita.
All right. Well, thank you, Bill. We've got some variety coming up. At least it's not all hazy, hot, and humid as it was for a while.
Yeah. But the heat's going to crank up for only one day, and then it's supposed to cool down. So
okay.
Yeah.
We'll keep that in mind and keep us going through that muggy period.
All right. I will.
All right. Thank you, Bill.
All
okay.
Right.
We'll talk to you again on Thursday. Bye-bye.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Moving on to today's Telegram and Gazette. We are going to take a brief break, and we will be back with news.
People with disabilities adapt on a daily basis. They're people you want on your team. And at the Mass Commission for the Blind, we're here to help you find blind and visually impaired professionals to help you reach your organizational goals. Call 1-800-392-6450 or visit mass.gov/MCB to learn how you can become an employer partner for the blindness community. That's 1-800-392-6450. Or visit mass.gov/MCB.
And turning to today's Telegram and Gazette, we will start with today's obituaries. Michael J. Barry, age 65, of Charlotte, Maine, died on June 11th. Mercadante Funeral Home and Chapel is assisting the family. Services will be June 19th at 11 a.m. at St. John's Church. James P. Grealis, 65, of Clinton, died on June 11th. Philbin Como Funeral Home is handling arrangements. Services are June 19th at 10 a.m. at St. John the Evangelist Church, with interment at St. John's Cemetery. Richard S. Rick Mansfield, Jr., 70, of Holden, passed away on June 10th. Miles Funeral Home is handling arrangements. Services are June 18th at 10 a.m. at St. Mary's Catholic Church in Jefferson. Interment will be private. Donna Shapulski Reno, 79, of Sutton, died on June 12th. Mercadante Funeral Home and Chapel is assisting the family. Services will be at the Mercadante Funeral Home on June 17th at 9 a.m., followed by a Mass at 11:30 at St. Mark's Church in Sutton. Stacia M. Najalik Valliser, 96, of South Windsor, Connecticut, died on June 13th. Samson and Carmen Funeral Home is assisting the family. Services are June 17th at 11:30 a.m. at St. Mary's Church, with interment at St. Mary's Cemetery on Granite Street in Uxbridge. Anne Elizabeth Barrett Winchenbach, 89, of Upton, passed away on June 12th. Materis Funeral Home is handling arrangements. Services are June 18th at 10:30 a.m. at St. Gabriel the Archangel, with interment at Wildwood Cemetery in Ashland. And that's it for our obituaries. Turning to the front page of the Telegram and Gazette above the fold. Iran peace deal shifts balance in Gulf. Experts say confidence in U.S. may be jeopardized. An analysis by Samia Nakul, Reuters. Beirut. The U.S.-Iran deal may silence the guns, but it cannot alter the verdict of more than 3 months of war. The region has emerged from one of its most dangerous crises in decades, with the balance of power broadly unchanged, Iran politically emboldened, and Gulf confidence in U.S. protection deeply shaken, Gulf sources, diplomats, and analysts say. Iran remains a formidable and undefeated force, capable of threatening Gulf Arab states and global energy flows, they say, while the U.S. has again revealed the limits of military power against a resilient adversary. For Washington, the deal offers an exit from a costly confrontation that failed to deliver its most ambitious objectives, from forcing Tehran's capitulation to dismantling its nuclear and missile capabilities, the sources say. After absorbing relentless U.S. and Israeli strikes, the Islamic Republic emerges battered but standing, preserving both its political establishment and much of the leverage that brought the parties to the table. The Memorandum of Understanding, to be signed on June 19th, provides for a 60-day cessation of hostilities, during which the two sides will negotiate a permanent settlement, including disputes over Iran's enriched uranium stockpile. What is being signed, however, analysts say, is less a peace accord than a mechanism to halt the fighting. At its core, fundamental disputes remain unresolved. Iran's enriched uranium, enrichment levels, sanction relief, security guarantees, and control of key waterways. Graduation Day, 22 new firefighters celebrate success. By Kinga Barandi, Worcester T&G. Worcester. Behind the hugs, handshakes, and accolades for the 22 recruits who graduated from Worcester Fire Academy June 5th, there was quiet satisfaction shared by the instructors who saw the men through the 14-week-long training. The instructors had ditched their soot-stained bunker gear to attend the ceremony in dress blues, bedecked with myriad service stripes and the brass and buttons that denote a lifetime of work and experience. They had toiled for the last 3 months to translate that experience, knowledge, and expertise into lessons for the recruits, and they had worked to find a way to instill in them the intangible essence of firefighting. "You all carry what you were taught here," Chief Martin Dyer told the recruits during the ceremony. Graduation, the chief reminded them, is not a destination, but a beginning. The work is meaningful and demanding. New Heart of Massachusetts departmental badges adorned their uniforms. City Manager Eric D. Batista administered the oath of office and handed out diplomas, and their loved ones pinned badges on their chests. There's a very nice picture of Worcester Telegram, by the Worcester Telegram, of the recruits filing into their graduation ceremony at Worcester Technical High School. Expert: Tick Bite Panic is Unnecessary, by Henry Schwamm, Worcester TNG. There's a lot of panic out there when it comes to ticks. Sam Telford doesn't like it. Some reports say it's an unusually bad tick season, with Lyme disease a major risk. Telford is an epidemiologist at the Cumming School of Veterinary Medicine at Tufts University in North Grafton. He's spent over 40 years trying to understand why people get infected with tick and mosquito-borne diseases, and he has a problem with the current narrative about ticks. He sees it emanating from a press release in April from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention that said an emergency room visit for tick bites were at the highest level in nearly a decade in many parts of the country. The release said if people find an attached tick, they should remove it as soon as possible and not wait to get to an emergency room. Telford believes the release created unnecessary alarm that encouraged people to rush to emergency rooms whenever they noticed a tick on their bodies or feared they had a tick bite. A misguided message, he feels, because every year is a bad year for ticks, and there are simple steps you can take to protect yourself when spending time in a woody area where ticks are more likely to be present. If you see a tick on your skin, Telford advises simply pull it off and try not to worry, because the vast majority of people who get a disease from a tick bite fully recover. Don't panic, he said. Even if you've been bitten by a tick, it's not a reason to go to the emergency room. Emergency room visits make sense, according to Telford, if symptoms of an infection appear beyond 24 hours after a bite. Instead, go to an urgent care center or call your primary care doctor. They will likely prescribe doxycycline, which prevents tick bites that happen more than 24 hours previously. While he doesn't buy into tick hysteria, Telford believes common sense precautions must be taken against tick bites. For protection against nymph tick deers, which are what are out now, Telford mentions repellents recommended by the CDC containing DEET or picaridin that should do the trick, as well as clothes treated with permethrin. Wear long pants and long sleeves when outside, and tuck pants into socks to keep the ticks off. Showers and body checks for ticks after spending time in wooded area are other preventative steps we all can take. Shrewsbury DPW director ousted over comedy show, by Rachel Gow, Worcester TNG. Shrewsbury: The town's director of public works has been removed from his post after a comedy show at a staff event May 20th was found to have violated workplace norms and standards, according to town leadership. Timothy McInerney is no longer a Shrewsbury town employee, town manager Kevin Mizikar confirmed in an email to the TNG on June 15th. Mizikar told the TNG that comedian Christy Kilbasinski performed May 20th at a National Public Works event, National Public Works Week event. Kilbasinski is also a member of the Grafton School Committee. The performance, which took place off-site, included remarks that were inappropriate for the workplace, Mizikar wrote in a May 21st email to DPW employees. We acknowledge that many employees reached out to let us know these remarks were not well received, and we take these concerns seriously, Mizikar wrote in an email, which was later forwarded to the leaders of the other town departments. The town subsequently conducted a review of the incident which ended with McInerney's removal. Keel Basinski has performed stand-up comedy through New England. Her term on the school committee ends May 27th. My humor is based on an exaggerated version of a desperate housewife who's sick of her kids, sick of her husband, and it's a little dark and twisted, she told Worcester Magazine in 2022. We'll take another break and be back with more news.
Do you need to contact the Massachusetts Attorney General's Office? The Attorney General's Office deals with a wide range of issues, including elder services, civil rights, fair labor, health care, insurance and financial services, housing, open meeting laws, public charities, and victim compensation. If you aren't sure who to call, an information specialist can direct you if you call the main switchboard. The main switchboard is 617-727-2200. Once again, that's 617-727-2200.
You are listening to Morning Report, a production of Audio Journal. Today is Tuesday, June 16th, 2026. In more local news, fire kills two women, cause remains unknown, by Norman Miller, the Milford Daily News. Bellingham. Two women died Monday, June 15th, in an early morning fire at a Temme Road home, according to Fire Chief William Miller. Authorities have not identified the women other than to say they were sisters. According to Miller, who was the first to arrive at 12:40 a.m., firefighters responded to 15 Temme Road for a report of a house fire. Upon arrival, firefighters found heavy fire coming through the roof and immediately began fighting the fire and searching for occupants. According to Miller, firefighters found the two women in the home. They were transported to the hospital, where they were later declared dead. The cause of the fire is under investigation by the Bellingham Fire and Police Departments. Massachusetts State Police investigators assigned to the State Fire Marshal's Office and the Worcester County District Attorney's Office. Where to go in Central Mass for fireworks? June 26, after the Red Sox game, Polar Park. Also on June 26, after the Bravehearts game, Fitton Field. On July 2nd at 9:30 p.m., Cristoforo Columbus Park. On July 2nd at 9 p.m., Memorial Beach Park in Webster. On July 3rd, after the Massachusetts Symphony Orchestra's Concert Institute Park. On July 3rd at 9:30 at Rollstone Hill Fitchburg. And July 4th, 9:45 at Polar Park, Madison Street, Worcester. Lots of chances to see fireworks this year. In more local news, police investigate fatal stabbing by Craig S. Seaman, Worcester TNG. Worcester, a quiet neighborhood shattered by domestic violence, is no closer to knowing the truth of what led to a fatal stabbing Friday, June 12th on Sunset Avenue. Worcester police are still investigating, but very little information has been released, except that the violence is considered domestic in nature. By law, police are limited in the amount of information they can release about such cases. The fatal assault occurred about 3:30 p.m. at 17 Sunrise Ave, according to police. A woman was stabbed to death, and two others were transported to a hospital with injuries. According to scanner transmissions, a caller reported to police that his father was stabbing his mother. By June 15th, the crime scene tape, which had been there since the incident, had been removed from the area. World Cup fever hits downtown Worcester. By Meg Trigolo, Worcester TNG. Downtown Worcester was bursting with energy on June 13th as soccer fans celebrated the beginning of this year's FIFA World Cup with a street soccer festival, an art exhibition, and an outdoor watch party for the day's matches. On the Worcester Common Oval, a screen showed games between Qatar and Switzerland, Morocco and Brazil, and Haiti and Scotland, the last of which was broadcast from Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, renamed Boston Stadium for the World Cup, only an hour's drive away. Much of the large crowd that gathered to watch was decked out in their favorite team colors, some in green and yellow for Brazil, others in red and green for Morocco, or blue and red for Haiti, a few more in blue and white for Scotland. On Franklin Street, close to traffic, lovers of the world's most popular sport played pickup games on the concrete, trying new juggling tricks and shooting into several goals that were set up on the street. Next to them, teams from the Kumasi Soccer Youth League faced off in a tournament that lasted all afternoon and featured an announcer who, like a television sportscaster, shouted "goal" every time a team scored. While many of the attendees were wearing jerseys from countries that were playing that day, some were representing teams that wouldn't be on the big screen, including Ghana, Rwanda, and the 2022 champions, Argentina. Later in the tournament, watch parties will take place for one of the tournament's semifinal matches June 14th and for the World Cup final, 3 p.m. July 19th. Towns could install red light cameras, by Margie Cullen, USA Today Network. You could get caught for failing to stop at a red light, even if no policemen are present, under a bill in the Massachusetts legislature. Sponsored by Senator William Brownsberger, Democrat of Belmont, the bill would allow cities and towns to install automated cameras that would enforce road safety violations like running red lights, blocking intersections, and speeding. If passed, Massachusetts would join at least 22 states and the District of Columbia that use red light cameras, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The violations enforceable with the cameras include failing to stop at a red light, making an illegal right turn on red, exceeding the speed limit, and blocking an intersection. Cameras would take a photo of the violating vehicle's license plate and send a ticket to the owner. It prohibits pictures of the front of a vehicle to protect the driver's privacy. Cities and towns would vote on the location of the cameras and would have to produce an annual report with the locations as well as an analysis of safety data. It's unclear if the bill will pass by the end of the 2025-2026 legislative session. Council budget vote expected, by Afton Pratt, Worcester TNG. Worcester. After 5 weeks of budget hearings and one postponed vote, the City Council is scheduled to vote on approving the municipal budget for the next fiscal year. The City Council will meet at 4 p.m. on Tuesday, June 6th, instead of its regularly scheduled 6:30 meeting time, in order to discuss and vote on the budget for fiscal 2027, which begins July 1st. The decision to make the meeting earlier caused tension between councillors at their last meeting, with some saying they would have trouble making a 4 p.m. start. Vice Chair Christian E. King posted the budget vote at the start of the June 6 City Council meeting. The motion on the budget is to approve the budget proposed by City Manager Eric D. Batista, which exceeds $1 billion for the first time. Councillors have been questioning the city department heads throughout May and June about how each will spend its allotment of the budget. However, the council has limited power over the budget and any suggestions councillors make. "You can make a general cut, that's about it," Mayor Joseph M. Petty recently said. "You cannot add to the budget." City Councilor-at-Large Satya M. Mitra asked if it was true that any recommended changes a councilor makes probably would not happen until the end of the next fiscal year. Petty told Mitra that that was correct. Also appearing on the agenda is an order from Councillor-at-Large Kathleen M. Toomey asking for clarification from the City Councillor on the roles of each member of the City Council. Toomey is asking for a report that includes the Mayor, Vice Chair, Councillors, Committee Chairs, and the City Manager, which outlines what each position is allowed, expected, and disallowed to do moving forward to assist the body and the public in their understanding of the responsibilities of each position. During the May 19th Council meeting, Petty was absent and King assumed the role as Chair. During the June 12th, 2 meeting, King served as Chair for some of the meeting before Petty's arrival. As the current council currently stands, Petty serves as Chair while King takes the role in Petty's absence. Hiker Dies After Park Medical Emergency by Tony Cauchy, Worcester TNG. A Lancaster man died Saturday afternoon, June 13th, while hiking on a trail at Monadnock State Park in Jaffrey, New Hampshire. Jeffrey Luth, 20, suffered a medical emergency prior to death, said the statement from the New Hampshire Fish and Game Department. Passersby first heard Luth yell out for help. Lieutenant Conservation Officer William J. Boudreau told the TNG, after approaching him and realizing he was not doing very well, Good Samaritans reported the medical emergency to the Mountain Patrol Rangers around 4 p.m. Despite best efforts of all involved, the hiker succumbed to medical events while hiking and was pronounced dead, the statement said. And that's it for today. You've been listening to Morning Report, a production of Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Information Audio Information Network. This is Alita. Thank you for listening. I hope you have a wonderful day filled with hope and joy.
Hello, sports fans. Did you know that Audio Journal has a weekly one-hour program that features news and inspiring stories about disabled and visually impaired folks participating in sports at the local, national, and international level? That's AJ Sports Page. Tune in on Fridays from 5 to 6 p.m. That's AJ Sports Page, airing every Friday from 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Archived episodes are available on demand on our website, www.audiojournal.org. That's AJ Sports Page, a production of Audio Journal. We are a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network.
Did you know ADA paratransit riders in Worcester, Auburn, Boylston, Leicester, Northboro, Oxford, Westboro, and West Boylston now have the option to schedule trips through the Worcester Regional Transit Authority's new online reservation system. Call customer service at 508-791-9782 or email paratransit@therta.com to begin scheduling your trip online.
Are you or a loved one experiencing vision loss, unable to read your daily newspapers, feeling isolated because of blindness? If the answer is yes, Audio Journal can help. Live broadcasts of newspapers and other local publications enable blind, visually impaired, and print-disabled residents of Worcester County to connect with their communities. Newspaper readings, informative programming, education, and entertainment return you to the printed word your vision loss has denied you. For information about Audio Journal's free service, call 508-797-1117. Again, the number is 508-797-1117 or email info@audiojournal.org. Or go to our website at www.audiojournal.org. Audio Journal is a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network.